a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster. There's been a missing person in jail for 81 long years. Well, today, that person has been found alive and well, and that person's name is Liam McCarthy.
Hello everyone, hello Dalo. We won't keep you long this time because I know you don't like talking about 95.
Or fed up with Larry Witches.
We better mark it anyway. Quarter of a century, would you believe? Thursday. What are you able to do? I presume all your what you've organised has been kind of pushed back for a while, is it?
Yeah, well, everything that was organised would have been nearly done and gone, except there was a little foreign trip, I think, maybe for 3 nights down to Portugal or something, a weekend, maybe 4, and a game of golf. Larry, that was proposed as well. But that was all dependent on fundraisers going ahead. And sure, they all went by the wayside and that. So, yeah, we don't even know. I mean, if the All-Irelands go ahead, we say the 14th of December, we don't sure will there be anyone there to wave at if we're being brought out. Or we contacted Croke Park and Adam Milton said, look at the plan at the moment. This is maybe a month ago, was that they were trying to go ahead with all the usual protocol that the other years All-Irelands would have. So the only thing I can take from that is, Larry, is we've gotten free suits, all right. But we're gonna need a free overcoat as well now if we're coming out onto the field on the 13th of December.
You might as well still do the wave anyway, even if there's nobody there. It should be on the TV anyway. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just to get together yourself anyway.
Yeah, it'd be great because, like as I said, the hotel in Dublin were sound. Like, obviously, we had to postpone the August end of it. We'd booked in for Saturday and Sunday nights. And they said they'd book us in, I think, on the 12th and 13th again for the same money, which is obviously, you know, from a hotel point of view, that's coming up to Christmassy time for them for parties and that. So they give a yes. So we've that provisionally in the locker, but look, sure, I don't know, sure, even with functions now, we're going to have a bit of a function and a meal and that on the Saturday night and maybe make a bit of a presentation to Pat O'Donnell, our sponsor, you know, who probably was there, you know, previous to 95 and is there since, like, you know, so something like that we were planning, but at this stage we're just in limbo. There's a bit of a get together tomorrow night out in Mike Max for local radio out there. No, I think it's only myself, and Mike and Liam Doyle and PJ O'Connell, fingers, because they'd be nearby, you know, and they asked me when I go over. So we might have a little mini powwow over there and see what we can come up with. But look, we're just going to have to go by whatever guidelines are in place at that stage, Larry, you know. But
Are you still all fairly good friends? You keep in touch, apart from the odd high-profile exception, maybe. But
Yeah. There's been a good bit written about league games that were played, the couple of league games that went ahead early in the year and all that, so we won't go back over that. But yeah, great, Larry. You know, and I often said it, a great sign of a friend, like, is somebody that you don't meet or maybe haven't even send a text to, or you know, you haven't been on the phone to them, but you can meet them. Yeah. Even if you met them in a pub or if you met them at a match, and you can take up, like, as
just
if
it picks up naturally.
Like, we have a golf game every year before Christmas. This year now, I suppose that might get the golf in somewhere, but I suppose that'll all have to be talked about over the next couple of weeks now. But usually around November, we go off somewhere, maybe Tralee or Galway or Kilkenny. We've nearly every town in Ireland done at this stage now. Last year was in Tullamore. Great crack. But we all go along to that year and we take up as if we were having beaten Cork or Tip or Limerick, Lara or Waterford on the Sunday, and we were meeting up on the Monday.
we're as good
now at that as we ever were. I don't know if the golf is improving, but with the social life, still good crack when you meet the lads. And we had a bit of a 10-year holiday to the Canaries 10 years after, and that was a roaring success. I think there was about 14 of us managed to go. It was kind of self-funded, like, to be honest. That was great crack. So yeah, we were looking forward to this one. The thing is that, you know, you look at a lot of other teams that, unfortunately, tragically, in a lot of cases, they would have lost somebody, you know, and at 25 years is a long time in some ways, even though it only seems like yesterday to me, Larry. But, and we're lucky, we're all still here at the moment anyway. And
it's a great thing to say,
yeah, hopefully we do get a chance for the end of the year to mark it in some way. You know, if it was only a night of Dublin, instead together and a couple of beers and bring the mistresses and whatever.
Yeah. Come here, we played in with the speech there. Had you written beforehand?
No, geez, No. The bits of paper frighten me when I see people there producing them up there. No. I tell you, no. I often said it, and it's well quoted, that the sparrow put me in my box down the swimming pool down the Clarendon. Don't be worrying about speeches. Worry about Johnny Dooley, he said to me. So, look, I had a few things in my head, I suppose. Look, I don't know where this missing person thing came from. I don't know. That was some. I did do honours English at school, so maybe I do have, you know, so... Some bit of a brain for that kind of, but look at the old traditional music thing would be that was often hopped off us on the field, you know, because you know Clare would be associated maybe being the home of that, and we were very proud of that. So I was anxious to acknowledge that as well as maybe ramming it down a couple of the throats as well. I suppose
throw it into a few lads.
Yeah, you know yourself. And you know, look, after that, it was about, I suppose, giving a bit of gratitude. I mean, we were the bunch of boys, Larry, that got there. But, you know, for us, I suppose we would all say to a man to this day that the Munster final was the sweetest day for us because unlike, we'll say, a Mayo or maybe even a Limerick, and Limerick broke that hoodoo, obviously, a couple of years ago. But, like, they'd been losing All-Ireland finals, you know, and it was Munster we couldn't win. And I think it was 13 Munster finals, heartbreak. And once that was lifted off us, I suppose the All-Ireland was a bit... we were maybe freer and easier going up to the All-Ireland semi-final and final, and maybe that helped in getting over the line. Now I'd give the management massive credit as well, because there would be a fierce temptation to settle for Munster, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but, bonus territory kind of situation.
Definitely, Ger and Mike and Tony rammed it into us, you know, the chance of a lifetime now to go and take it. And then, of course, the excitement coming up to the final was ferocious. And when it went our way, it was a poor match, I suppose. But, you know, I suppose Davy wouldn't have been happy with Michael Dignan's goal, really. You'd never see Davy making a mistake like that. So we held him to 2-8, really, which you could say probably was 1-8. So defensively, it was probably a good performance. And then, luckily enough, I suppose, Fergie Tui hit a really great going day, got 4 points in play. And Eamon Taff, who had come on, and they were trying to get the linesman's attention to take it back off again, was still there.
Yeah.
The ball in the net, and we wrote it. So I was very conscious when we did win it, Larry, that to give credit to the previous Clare teams, you know, because I grew up as my heroes of that double winning league team, 77 and 78, who were, you know,
so close,
tortured by that 3-in-a-row Cork winning team. Then brilliant team, one of the greatest teams maybe ever played a game, and they were beaten 2 points by them in 78. I'll never forget the tension in the air that day, 13 points to 11, like just real raw, two evenly matched teams, and couldn't get it done. And then even for ourselves, they had been, you know, a torture, and some of those lads were gone from 93 and 94 Munster finals, and I was conscious that they were all part of it, of getting the dream, Clare getting to the top after 81 years. So that was in my head as well, and thank God, look, things kind of went smoothly enough on the pitch, maybe.
Yeah, come here. Like, I mean, smoothly enough. Like, you were, I was watching it there again. Like, standing over that free to win it. Like, you were. I mean, firstly, what were you doing taking it? Surely, Shawnee Mack should have been taking that.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, the Eamon's free. I tell you the truth, Larry. I hadn't a puck got after about 5 or 6 minutes, and we got a free way back. You'd have to go back to the first 6, 7 minutes, 8, maybe longer now. And we got an old free way back, and I had a lovely hurley. I was mad about. We'd be minded and fixed and repaired, and I said, "Shawnee, let me hit this for you." And he says, "Grand, sure." It wasn't really, but Jesus, it went right into the edge of the square, like, you know. And Conor Clancy nearly got a flick to it to put it in the net, and Jesus, it kind of went the trajectory, went as straight as a die, like, you know. And Jesus said, "Like, this yoke is, if I get a few pucks at all, anyway, I won't be afraid to have a go." Like, but it was. So then the free came, we were 2 points down, and Frank was fouled coming out. I think someone dragged him back, and like the free was only probably about 55 yards out from our own goal. So whether it was scorable or not was debatable for either of us. We both had fairly good slap foot, and Shawnee obviously had a straighter slap foot than I had. So, but Frank gave me the ball because he wouldn't hit it normally from back there. And I'll hit it. I just waved him, I'll hit it. And again, like the first one, except I was closer to the opposition goal, but it was well. It was a good 7-8 yards inside our own 65.
Yeah.
But again, the bit of a wind and caught it, I think, and carried and carried, and I wasn't aiming for the crossbar, Larry.
Crossbar challenge. But,
yeah, I suppose David Hughes wouldn't be so happy with the way he dealt with it. He probably should have flicked it over for a point, but yeah. Down she came, and Eamon was still on the field because there was no one mic'd up to Dickie to tell him that Clare wanted to make a sub. And I often said, of the two forwards that were on the field at that stage, it nearly needed to fall to Eamon or to Sparrow. Would have been the two that would have doubled on that, but they're the best hands. Adam Neville was coming on as a sub, his mate of mine, club mate of mine. But Nev would be known as being a sprinter, like of a wing forward, you know, the kind of opposite to him, and he would be a runner. He'd get it wing forward and charge at the goal, and he would, any goal Alan would get would be probably getting it on the run. And I'm not so sure Alan would have been the man you'd want to see that dropping down to, you know. He'd probably take it in his hand anyway. But of course, Taff being the natural striker that he was, the hands of God like Taff. Yeah. And it just felt a tough, and of course he billowed in it, and then I suppose then the 65 came about, and geez, you're feeling, hang on a minute here, there's something kind of magic here in the day, like, you know. And look at my mother is 90 now, thank God she's still with us, Larry. A few bumps and scares along the way, and she was up in the stand with my brother and kind of caught him by the arm and said, what's he doing? When I was going over the 65, and you know, like I just looked at Johnny and he kind of said, yeah, and I said, yeah, give it to me. And then, the worst
you
one was
Super Rigby.
We weren't, no, Sean. He kind of looked, I think he looked at my eyes and kind of felt that this fella is wired, that he's going to score this. So, Huber Rigney then was down injured, so there was a delay. And we didn't really know him at the time, but Dahi Moore Regan and myself used to have the odd chat on the field. It wasn't always too complimentary, but he came over and said, in a very nice tone, he said, Aradello, we might as well have a second day out of it. There wasn't a draw since 59. He says, sure, it's going to be a great whole day again for the Clare and Offaly people. And I said, sure, we'll see, Di, and smiled at him. And in actual way, in some ways, it helped me to walk away from the ball and talk to him for a second. And there wasn't anything nasty in it. But in the meantime, Gerard had made his way across the full width of the field and asked me, was I sure? And I said, I better not be watery with the answer. And I said, certain. Jesus, if I went wide, Larry. It's only the ramifications were hitting me, I think, when I sobered up around Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, looking at it, you don't look in the slightest bit nervous there. Like, there's no body language giving you away there, for sure.
I don't know. It's just, whatever it was on the day, I got myself into a great old place mentally, and I was kind of in flow. And I suppose the task was to mark Johnny, first of all. And that had gone okay. Got a point. Yeah. And, you know, I just was in a good place. And it says then when the goal went in off the crossbar one, you know, maybe there's something in the stars here. And, you know, didn't we all dream about hitting a free to win an All-Ireland, Larry, in the back garden when we were 5 or 6?
We
and there it was in front of me. And was I going to balk or not? Now, I suppose maybe a month later or that, I was invited to a few dinner dances. I could have been gone 3 nights a week at that stage. And you'd be coming up to your speech in front of 200 and you'd be bricking it because they were all looking up at you for words of wisdom or you know, so... Guess just the way, you know, I suppose. Look, I'll sum it up by saying we had to play a championship the following Sunday against Dora Bearfield. Massive crowd turned up, a double header. And of course, we had 6 on the panel and they had 3 on the panel. And so it was huge, 8,000 or 9,000 in there. And we got a free to win it, 65 to win it, central, middle of the field. I think it was 10 points all. And I shouted out at James Healy, or close-in free-taker to come out and take it. They were all looking back at me. Whether that was a consequence of the week that was after going by, that the nerves weren't great.
Yeah.
Not sure, but James nailed it anyway, and we got over that match. They were all looking at me in the dressing room afterwards. You could take it in the All-Ireland, but you couldn't take it for the first round. Yeah, I said no, because you'd give me a worse doon than the Clare crowd, I said.
do you ever reflect on how, I mean, let's say if you, the first free, if that hadn't hit the crossbar, if that had gone over even, like, you wouldn't have won it. Like, I mean, the fine line between the whole thing. Like, I suppose it was a turning point in... I know you said the Munster final was bigger in some ways, a bigger breakthrough, but, like, it launched all of you onto the national stage. Like, it changed your life, I suppose, the All-Ireland final.
That's for sure, yeah. It did, indeed. Like, in everything in terms of fellas going into different work and all sorts of things, and fellas being promoted and...
Ollie Baker was on the late doing a fashion show, like, about
correct,
2 weeks
yeah,
later.
yeah, for the Humphrey Bogart hat name, there was the mad stuff started to happen, and everyone wanted to, it was, you see, there's so many counties out there like us there, which are unlike Cork, Tip, and Kilkenny, so many football counties as well, you know, that don't have haven't won an All-Ireland in years and years. Think about all the ones that haven't. So all of a sudden, this crowd who were, you know, perennial chokers in lots of ways when it came to Munster Final Day were bringing the Liam McCarthy back to Clare since the First World War was kicking off. So, and a lot of people said that was the only reason we won that one, as everyone else has gone off fighting the war, you know. So, there was intrigue, all right, about how this bunch of fellas with this kind of half psyched manager who told Marty Morrissey at halftime we were going to do it, you know. So there was all that sort of thing. And people still, I think, there's a bit of mystique about how it was done. And there wasn't actually, you know, it was just a ferocious, great work done by your own county man, Lynn Gaynor, to bring us an awful long way the way along the road. And then a massive, massive commitment and a lunatic called Gerlach Nan, who drove us absolutely wired and still needed luck along the way, Lord. I mean, sure, that Cork match that year, sure, I mean, you know, Frank took the ball off Kevin Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, we're after getting, we're lucky enough, the sideline ball from Fergie Toohey, who should never have been taken at number one, how he was allowed out there. I was screaming for him to get away from it. Mm-hmm. And sure, Ali had gone from midfield to wing forward, to centre forward, to corner forward, to full forward after coming on as a sub, and Ali gets a flick to it.
Yeah.
And then Cork get a goal at the other chance. So, we, you know, the whole thing could have broke up, really, because we had been hammered in the two previous Munster finals. So, maybe I believe a bit in faith at times, and that things turned our way. And I think that was a fascination, I suppose, in a lot of people about that and how it worked out and that kind of thing. And yeah, sure, we're still living off it in some ways.
An element of destiny, I suppose. Yeah. You mentioned your mother there. She was doorstop by the news. Was it the following evening? Was it? They came to the door. Poor woman. Yeah. Gave her an offer.
Yeah. She would have gone up and down. Like, you know, she would never have stayed the night. Like, so. My brother Martin would have drove home with her, and sure, he'd have just dropped her home and gone straight to the village to lap it up, like. And we weren't coming home till Monday, and of course RTE sent the cameras to Clarecastle. Of course the captain was from there, and we had six on the panel as well. We had three subs and three playing, which was a huge achievement, you know. For Clarecastle was probably the hive of colour and activity. The whole village went bananas with punting and flags and all that. So yeah, they did. She had no idea, and she's not that. Yeah, she'd be camera shy enough now. Amazing, she's still around. Like, you know, she's had a few brushes and a few illnesses and things like that. And but she even had a fall, and looking at to break a hip and a few stitches the other night, only about a week ago. But she's back. She's back on the road again. You know, so yeah. Look, Clary, it was dream come true stuff. You know, that was the only way you could describe it, because. You know, I think the local commentator on Clare FM at the time, Matthew McMahon, he kind of said, you know, his commentary was, we had dreamt. And that was it. We could only look at the likes of yourselves and, you know, watching the captain from Kilkenny, Cork, Tip. You know, the inspirations, I suppose, being for us were awfully before us. And I like to think, as I said that in the speech, you know, a little did we think the history we would be creating with him over the next few years as well, and on to 98. And also Galway, I suppose, and the whole Joe Connolly 1980 thing as well, and that they were our kind of, we clung to their stories, I suppose. And I will also acknowledge as well, Larry, that the Clare footballers winning Munster in 92 was massive.
Yeah,
and we all got to go to Croke Park as a supporter, have a few pints, see the Clare team running out onto the field, and see the Canal End jammed and the reception they got. And I was a kind of, you know, 22 year old Clare hurler at that stage, and you were there. Jesus, if we could get here. And I think one of our first meetings back in 93, the footballers were next door to us out in Crosheen, the training grounds there. They used half the field and we'd use half the field. It was just a slogging session. And I said, lads, I was captain at that stage. Like, and I said, lads, if that crowd next door can win Munster, we want to get our acts together. I know, although we took a hiding in the 93 Munster final, we actually beat Limerick and Cork in that Munster Championships, which was an unheard of for us since kind of 87, really. Clare had done nothing. They'd been completely annihilated right through from 88 on, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, you know, they'd been hammered and stuck in Division 2, and it didn't seem like there was any hope at all at that stage. So those little things, I suppose, were the things and as I will say, the Clare football team did more for us, I'd say, than anything as regards a little kick in the behind to say, if you want to do work hard enough, you know, there is something there for you. And again, there was a good under-21 team in 92 as well. They were very unlucky against that great Waterford team. And so, yeah, things, the stars aligned, Larry, in some way, and we got there. And you know, look, I know we beat Tip the second time around, but to back it up was massive as well, though. You know, to get.
We won't dwell on that now. There's no need to dwell on that.
I know. No, it's great. It was a dream come true now. Yeah.
I know. Listen, congratulations again on being a part of it. Look, a special thing to be. I mean, it meant so much to so many people. Like, I think I was just looking at a few bits and pieces this morning, and I saw John Joe Doyle, the captain from, was it 93? Was it 32? Won the Munster, yeah. Like, and he just completely lost for words, like, as to what it meant to him. Like, I mean,
he was almost in tears, wasn't he? You know, you could feel the emotion breaking through his voice, and yeah, Goggles was alive, of course, at the time, and. I remember after winning Munster, one of the local papers as well, the County Express, Seamus O'Reilly, dragged me out of bed. I'd say I was still in bed on the Monday to go over to Goggles' house, and the two of us have a fantastic picture of myself and Goggles with the Munster Cup, you know, and he was the last man to have lifted that and as well. So, yeah, that was worth it. I was giving out about Seamus roaring up the stairs at me in my mother's house, but once I got up and threw on a T-shirt and washed my face, we got it done, and it was, look at it, it's a priceless photograph now. And for all those people, Jesus, that had seen the torturous years, you know, the 55, to beat Cork and to beat Tip in the one season in Munster for Clare, and to lose to this bunch of young lads from Limerick called Mackey's Greyhounds, you know, the people that were at that and were still lucky enough to be alive for 40 years after that, you know, they would have come up to you over those years and said, Jesus, thanks for that. I never thought I'd see it, you know. So, yeah, great. Fantastic.